I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for September 9th, 2015 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Lupke is absent. Mr. Mishka?
Here.
Mrs. Westphal?
Here.
Mr. Lupke is excused. He's on family holiday. There are six members of City Council present, so their quorum does exist. I welcome you all to our City Council meeting tonight. There are copies of the agenda, or there were, on the two side tables. Many of you must have them by now. If we get to an item in the agenda that you wish to address council, please raise your hand, and I will recognize you at the appropriate time. At this time, I invite you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance. This meeting led by Mrs. Westphal.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, we will add Agenda Item 6A, Proposed Ordinance 58-2015, which the clerk will now hand out. This is to, at council's request, to prepare legislation to deny zoning applications EA-2-2014 in the Alexis Acres neighborhood. So add this into your agenda as 6A. That's the only addition I have. Mrs. Westphal?
Nothing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Additions from members of City Council? Seeing none.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Hanem?
Yeah, I would want to schedule a Zoning and Annexation Committee meeting.
All right. We'll make that. It's not a referral. It's a standing
well,
issue.
We're going to this is with respect to Proposed Ordinance 56-2015, Item 7. We're referring this to the design review regulations to the Architectural Review Board. We had a Zoning and Annexation Committee meeting where we were going to consider it, and other matters took up our time, so we're going to have to schedule another meeting to review
that. Let's add the addition to scheduling that meeting, then, is 7A.
That's fine.
From members of staff, any additional items? Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Briney?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved as amended. Agenda Item 4 is approval of our meeting minutes from our last meeting on August 17th, 2015. Mrs. Westphal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the August 17th, 2015 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from August 17th, 2015 be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Moving on to Agenda Item 5, we are honored to have with us this evening a national champion, a Sylvania resident, Sophia Howard, for her first place finishes in the 2014-2015 National Junior Olympic Archery Championships. Council approved a resolution commending her at their last meeting on August 17th. She agreed to join us tonight, and I'm going to come down there and present this resolution to her. You are how old? You're 12 years old and already have two national championships for your credit. That's truly amazing. You can read along with me as I read it aloud. Resolution number 5, 2015, a resolution of the Council of the City of Sylvania commending Sophia L. Howard for her first place finishes at the 2014 and 2015 National Junior Olympic Archery Development Outdoor Championships. Whereas the Junior Olympic Archery Development, or JOAD, program of USA Archery that teaches archery to the younger generation and holds competitions throughout the country to award achievement. And whereas Sophia L. Howard is a seventh grader at McCord Junior High School and has been involved in archery since she was 2 years old. Whereas in addition to her two national titles, Sophia Howard has earned numerous first place finishes at both local and state championships, including the Ohio Joanne Indoor Championships, the Ohio Outdoor Championships, and was also recognized as the 2014 Ohio Shooter of the Year. And whereas the Council of the City of Sylvania commends and congratulates Sophia Howard on all of her accomplishments in archery, especially her first place finishes at the 2014 and 2015 National Junior Archery Development Outdoor Championships, now therefore be it resolved by the Council of the City of Sylvania, Lucas County, Ohio, all seven members elected thereto concurring, that this council recognizes the accomplishments of Sophia L. Howard and commends and congratulates her for her first place finish at the 2014 and 2015 Junior Olympic Archery Development Outdoor Championships. Congratulations.
As I told you earlier, you're welcome to stay as long as you like. And leave when you feel it's the right time. Moving on to agenda item 6, we're also pleased to have with us tonight Claire Proctor, the Executive Director of Sylvania Community Services. She's going to talk to us about a levy and a request for a levy endorsement for the Senior Center here in Sylvania. Mrs. Proctor, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be on your agenda this evening. And though he's not here tonight, we appreciate Mark Lutke, who also serves on our Sylvania Community Services Board. So I am here tonight, as Mr. Mayor mentioned, to ask for your endorsement for the Sylvania Senior Center levy that's going to be on the November ballot this year. Our current five-year levy is expiring at the end of this year. Ohio Revised Code dictates that senior services go on the ballot for five-year levies and no continuing levies. So that's why we're here tonight. Your Sylvania Senior Center serves approximately 2,800 seniors each year and about 230 people a day. We all know that as individuals age, they experience changes physically, socially, mentally, and sometimes these changes can make life a little more challenging. I know I've got aches and pains that I didn't have years ago, so you only have to be 55 to come to the Sylvania Senior Center, so I qualify. Our mission is to...
We would never guess that.
Oh, no.
And just barely.
Our mission is to promote healthy aging at the Sylvania Senior Center, and our programs are designed to address all of the areas I just mentioned. We help keep seniors healthier longer, help keep them engaged, less isolated. Our offerings help seniors stay healthier longer. We offer transportation to and from the center and for necessary errands. Our lifelong learning focuses on health issues and other topics of interest. Our fitness classes help with physical health, while our brain fitness programs help to keep the memory strong. A George Washington University study of 300 seniors found that creative activities such as art classes and writings actually slow the aging process, resulting in fewer doctor visits and better mental health. Our daily hot lunch and Tuesday evening dinner help with nutritional needs. Many of our recreational offerings help with brain fitness, coordination, and motor skills. We also reach out to those seniors in the community that cannot attend the center. We do this through our home maintenance program. We offer also also offer phone assistance with resources in the community. In addition to helping seniors, we frequently get phone calls from family members calling with questions. It could be an out-of-town adult, children looking for services or concerned family members for their aging loved ones. We have many offerings that help keep seniors more independent and less isolated. That's not only good for the individual, but good for our community. So how do we know we're doing the right things and that we're doing them well? Well, in striving to be the best that we can be, we do have national accreditation by the National Council on Aging. Our national accreditation is our way of assuring our citizens that we meet and exceed national standards of senior centers. There's only about 2% of all senior centers in the nation that have national accreditation, and we're very proud to be part of that 2%. There's about 15,000 senior centers in the nationally. So I'd like to call attention to the first page in your handout, our levy collections history. The senior center has had an operating levy for the past 15 years. We're proud to say that our millage has remained the same for that 15 years. However, just like other entities, our collections have been decreasing since 2010. We are now collecting only 89% of our millage that was passed in 2010 due to declined property values. Over the years, we have worked on doing our part to cut costs and increase our revenues. Some of our cost-cutting measures have been reduction of some full-time positions from 7 down to 4. We have filled these slots with part-time individuals, helping to save on some benefit costs. We were also able to do some consolidating with our transportation program so that when our second vehicle was taken out of service a few years ago, we did not replace it. And instead, we've been able to stretch the use of our remaining vehicle to still provide essential transportation services. Also helping to reduce costs, we have wonderful volunteers that help in our office and with special events, and they do many other tasks that we normally would have to have paid personnel for our volunteers help with. We also have some great partnerships. Some of our community partners help to sponsor events, meals, which also reduce our costs. Flower Hospital provides a nutritionist that offers an education series. We have professional services at no cost to our seniors, such as speaking with a pharmacist, blood pressure checks, blood sugar checks, and even some in-kind legal services through our community partners. Our revenue-enhancing measures have included, we've been working very hard to grow our foundation. We have a Sylvania Community Services Foundation. Soliciting donations from individuals and businesses. We also have a participant council at the Senior Center, and they are busy little fundraisers. In fact, one of our major fundraisers is coming up next week, our Follies. Some of you have attended that in the past. So last year, along with a private donor, our participant council helped to fund accessible electric door openers on our restrooms and office doors for people that need that assistance. So now I'd like to direct you to the budget page that you received. The budget you have before you includes maintaining our current programs and staffing levels. There are no increases. We have built in inflation for expenses across the 5 years. In order to maintain our current programs, we're asking for a renewal of the 0.32 mils, that's a third of a mil, and an additional 1.0, a tenth of a mil. That would get us to a break-even budget across the five-year time span. This request will cost the taxpayer $13.30 a year on $100,000 home value. So the budget you have before you shows our four main revenue streams, our program income and other, grants and donations, and our Area Office on Aging grant. Our grant from the Area Office on Aging includes federal dollars, state dollars, and local Lucas County levy dollars that come back to the Sylvania community. These three streams make up 25% of our total revenue, helping to offset our request for public financial support. Our levy request of 0.32 mil renewal plus the 0.10 increase represent 75% of our projected revenue. So in the expense portion of the budget that you have, we have built-in inflation for expenses across the 5 years. Our expenses are listed by category with the greatest percentages towards salaries and benefits, as is typical for most social service agencies. Next is our occupancy costs, such as utility, building supplies, and maintenance costs. On the second to the last line of our expenses, you'll see building refurbishing set-aside amount. That represents the amount we save each year for the items that we are responsible for refurbishing, such as painting, carpeting, parking lot repair, heating and cooling equipment replacement, and major maintenance items. So we set aside a set amount each year so that when those items need to be replaced, we have the funds to do that. So to recap, this request will cost the taxpayer $13.30 a year on $100,000 of home value. This will generate $500,000 per year for the center beginning in 2016 for 5 years, which you can see at the end of the page. It's shaded in green. If any of you have not been to the senior center and would like a tour, I would be happy to be your personal guide. Seeing our programs in action helps to tell our great story. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them now.
Do you have a different source of money available for your vehicle replacement? I know in the past you've gotten other grant money for that.
We have gotten CDBG funds in the past for the vehicle replacement. We do. I don't know what our chances would be right now since CDBG monies have dwindled. So that is not included in our
report. Yeah, I don't see it in here. How old is your current vehicle?
It's 10 years old, but it's it has about 70,000 miles on it.
We will work with you to find other grant funds for that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Just to put this levy and the senior center in perspective for council, in the late 1990s, it was very apparent that the senior center needed a new home. It was in the basement of the Burnham Building, was not properly handicapped accessible, and frankly was not a very pleasant space. The city stepped forward at that time and offered to sell bonds to build a new senior center. We went to the township and got them to put in a proportional amount for their population of the community, which they agreed to do. We went to our state legislators, who came through with $750,000 of State of Ohio Capital Improvement Funds. And the office, Lucas County Office on Aging, also came forward with some dollars, capital dollars. However, before those capital funds were approved, it was determined that there should be an operating levy approved by the voters to ensure that they really wanted to support a new senior center. And to avoid the situation where we'd have a brand new senior center and no dollars to heat the place or turn on the lights with. So before the bonds were sold and construction was started, this original levy was put on the ballot, and it passed. The voters said, yes, let's have a senior center. The city sold its bonds to build it. We bought the township bonds rather than them writing us a note. We bought the township bonds to ensure their repayment through the course of our bonds and went out to bid and built a new senior center. That levy has been renewed twice since then at the same millage amount. But because of the re-evaluations by the county auditor, the value of that levy has been reduced, and that's why you're in here for an increase. I understand that case, and I agree with it. And I think that this city council needs to recognize seniors are important in our community. We need to support the operation of the senior center. And I, myself, fully endorse your levy request and recommend the City Council that they consider doing the same. You may want to consider that and take action at the next council meeting or two, but to me, this is a clear, as clear of a endorsement for a levy as you can have. To operate a city-owned facility that the city is still paying debt repayment on to serve our residents, nothing could be a clearer issue for us to endorse. Claire, I appreciate you coming forward with all these facts. It's very clearly stated.
Thank you very much.
Claire, I assume you'd like an endorsement tonight so you can promote that?
If possible, yes.
Okay.
And just as a follow-up question, Claire, you'd mentioned $13.30 a year. That's the total cost of the levy, correct? The increase would only be $350 a year for the average household of $100,000?
Correct.
That's what your paperwork says, so I'm mimicking that. I just wanted to clarify that for members of council and those in the audience.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
I do have a question. The area of Office on Aging Grant, you have it out all the way. Is that a given for the amount of money that they're going to give you? I mean, do you know that this is a...
We don't expect any increases from them.
Right.
We also don't expect that the money would be discontinued.
Okay.
If there would be something, some major upset at the federal or state level, which the local Lucas County levy was passed last year in 2014, and by a good margin, if I remember correctly. So we anticipate there will continue to be funds from the area office.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
I'll make the motion to provide the Sylvania Community Services endorsement for their levy campaign.
Second.
I would think that the proper procedure is the motion to make an endorsement of the levy and to prepare a written resolution for approval by council at the next meeting.
Right.
So you can go with the motion of endorsement, but we'll provide you with an official endorsement at the next meeting.
Great. I'll modify my motion then.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to endorse the Senior Center levy and prepare a resolution for improvement for approval at the next council meeting documenting that endorsement. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Claire, that next meeting is a week from Monday night. You do not need to come. It sounds like it's going to be voted in the past. But you're welcome to attend.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for coming. Now on to added agenda item 6A, which is proposed ordinance 58-2015, which was distributed this evening. This is ordered legislation from our previous meeting, and this is to deny the zoning application 2-2014 by overriding the recommendation of the Planning Commission. Councilor, the law director and the administration were obligated to bring this to you, and I now look to either the president of council or the chairman of the zoning committee for whatever action council chooses to make. Mr. Hanum.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Brining, was Mr. Parker did he contact you since our last meeting?
No, Mr. Hanneman. I left him a voicemail and I did not hear back from him.
Okay. And he contacted me the day after and indicated that he wanted to consider reworking the zoning application or amending it or doing something different with it. And he indicated to me he was going to get a hold of you about that. Obviously, he hasn't done that. Honestly, my preference would be to have Mr. Parker withdraw the zoning request. I think by denying, we can deny it. We certainly can deny it. We're not going to approve it. If we deny it, I suppose it gives him a litigation option, which I would just as soon not provide him if we could get him to withdraw it. So my inclination tonight would be to, as much as I'm annoyed that Mr. Parker didn't get a hold of you the way he indicated he was, would be to not introduce this tonight, but hold it for our next meeting and see if he has a different plan. It's clear that we are not. Council is uniform in their position that we're not going to approve this zoning change as he's presented it. But I'll defer to fellow council members, if you want to act tonight, we can act tonight. I think there's, I think there would be a benefit to him withdrawing the request as opposed to us denying it. I don't know if he's willing to do that at this point. He indicated to me the day after our last meeting that he would be in contact with our law director on that, but obviously that didn't happen.
I have not heard from him.
Mr. Needham, has he suggested that he would withdraw it? Is that what you're implying?
It's what I suggested to him was that he withdraw it. And he was going to talk with Ms. Brining, as I understand it, about his options. But I haven't talked with him since the day after our last meeting.
Can I ask a question? So, a process question. How long, just what's the time frame on this? And for these people out here,
right,
they don't want to just wait forever to know this. What's our responsibility to?
The code just requires that it be a reasonable time frame. That's very broad. Our code. So there's not a set time limit by which you have to act. But that's a very legitimate concern. The legislation was ordered and why we...
When was this introduced? Just remind us.
It was...
How long is this?
April 29th, 2014 is when it was filed. And it was referred to the Plan Commission in June of last year. And the first public hearing was last summer.
So to me, it sounds like we've long passed the reasonable time frame. So now, the lawyer question, if we deny it, and it has been a reasonable time frame, does he still have, do you think he still has grounds?
He can always file a law. And Mr. Parker's reputation is that I would not be surprised if counsel denied it if he did file a lawsuit. But we have defensible,
We've acted responsibly on this throughout. The delay that has occurred as a result of his requests that we delay it. So I'm not worried about timing with regard to the applicant.
Mm-hmm.
I am sensitive to the concern of the neighbors here. I guess at this point, my thinking on this is another 2 weeks isn't going to change that much.
Doug, what about, help me procedurally to work through this, can we do a first reading tonight?
Sure.
And show the citizens that, we're making a little bit of progress, giving an option, and then 2 weeks from now, hopefully just finishing it off, he can withdraw in that period of time, or in 2 weeks we do
the
final reading.
That's a reasonable approach.
That's a very good suggestion.
Wow.
Ms. Brining, I also have a...
We would expect nothing else from Sandy.
With regards to maybe a follow-up request, if we deny it or if he withdraws it, if he decides that he wants to submit another one a few weeks after this, does our action change the waiting period? So if he withdraws it, does he have to wait? Or if we deny it, does he have to wait? Is it all the same? Okay, thanks.
And you said it's a year.
Okay. It's a year.
From
yeah.
when?
I'm sorry?
A year from when? Oh,
a year from when the action is taken.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Mayor, in light of Ms. Hussman's wise counsel, I would move adoption of ordinance number 58-2015. All members of council previously having received copies, I will read by title only. Denying the recommendation of the Municipal Planning Commission to approve petition for zoning ordinance amendment number ZA-2-2014 on the petition of Jerome R. Parker, agent for DJF Properties Limited, to change the zoning of property at 5904 West Alexis and 5623 and 5625 Acres Road, Sylvania, Ohio, from R2 Single Family Small Lot Residential District to B2 General Business Zoning District. And this will be first reading of ordinance number 58-2015.
Second.
All right, that is the first reading. That's all the action to be taken tonight. The next council meeting is a week from Monday night. It'll come back to council, and they can either have a second reading or they can have final action on it at that time. Sir, you had your hand up. Do you have any questions at this time?
Yes.
Please come up to the podium and tell us who you are. This should be questions about the procedure, and I don't think there's any more explanation needed about council's denial of this request.
My name is 5630 Balfour. I have the one house on the corner of Randall and Balfour, the 1897.
I remember you speaking at the last meeting.
Okay. Just this procedure seems to be just dragging it on again, and this is was acted upon almost a year ago, almost 2 years ago, I believe.
It was presented on April 29, 2014. That's a year and a half ago. That's a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And he had an opportunity there to correct anything he wanted to correct at that point. And then he has not come back to you since the last meeting, even though he said he was going to. He has not. I can't understand this delay that we have to go on any further with this because, you know, we've talked about it quite a bit now, and I just question the procedures here of delaying it again when, you know, it's not a decision to make, so that's all I have to say.
Thank you for your input.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for your attendance.
Mr. Mayor, just, yeah, I want to make it clear that, to clear the neighbors, that we're not going to approve the zoning. I mean, that is not happening. That's not on the table. So procedurally, you know, as a practicing lawyer, I'm more concerned about litigation risk than maybe some of the rest of you. I've won sure loss cases, and I've lost sure win ones. So I would just as soon see if we can avoid that risk. And Mr. Parker, for whatever anyone wants to say about him, is a accomplished and experienced attorney and litigator. And if we can resolve this with him with a withdrawal, we as a city will be ahead and our budget will be ahead. And that's what I'm most interested in.
I just have a clarification or a contextual question because I'm not an attorney. Ms. Brining, do you, in your judgment, or Mr. Hannum, in your judgment, do you think that this 1.5 week time frame will enhance our position from a litigation perspective if he chooses not to withdraw? Does that change anything in that regard?
I don't think it will impact it one way or the other.
So effectively what we're attempting to do if we delay this another week and a half is to allow him another week and a half to recognize what counsel, like what I get a sense anyways of what, you know, what my thought process is, but I can't speak for other members. What I think the other members are thinking, that's what we're attempting to do, is let him come to his senses in regards to that, or have the opportunity to withdraw for another week and a half.
I wouldn't say come to his senses. I wouldn't incite him that way.
Fair enough.
What I would suggest,
that's bad words.
Is that we will be clear on our path forward, and he may reach a different decision.
But I think what the single reading does tonight is it shows that council's intention, where the last time it was the intention of the committee. So not everybody that was at the committee meeting had the ability to vote at the committee meeting. But now that we've had the first reading, that shows that council's unified in that.
I thought that was a committee of the whole, was it not?
That was zoning and annexation.
Okay.
But the legislation was
yes.
To be moved forward to the agreement.
I think everybody was present, yeah, but not able to vote.
My intent in making the suggestion was to show Mr. Parker that we are definitely moving forward with this. So if it benefits him to step away, that would be lovely. In 10 days from now, or is it our next meeting 10 days? Whenever it is, we will finish the job if nothing else changes in that time. You know our intent is not to have this happen.
All right, well, we will know more a week from Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for coming. And you're certainly welcome back.
But we haven't voted.
There is no
vote on the first reading? Fair enough.
First reading is done. It used to be that we would have three readings on all legislation.
I recall.
And we still have to do that on budgets and other some other legislation.
So would Garbetta be here again in 10 days or 2 weeks?
I don't see council changing their mind, but you might want to come and see for yourself.
We always appreciate
we have plenty of seats.
in attendance.
We're glad you're here.
Okay. I want to say thank you guys. I feel happy today. It's like for the last, since this meeting, I was like, what? I'm tired of Mr. Parker calling my husband and me every other day. I'm tired of it. I just want to
end
it.
Has he been out in your neighborhood? Has anything been going on in the last 2 weeks?
Well, after the last meeting that we had here, when they were here, he called us, well, my husband, like 2 days later, and wanted me to get the neighborhood together and have a sit-down meeting with them, with Mr. Finnegan and Mr. Parker, but I told my husband, I said, I didn't want to do that because I just wanted to deal with let you guys help us and just do it the right way. I didn't want to get in a meeting with them and then they come and say, he said this. So I said, no, I didn't. So my husband never got back to him. And Don Finnegan thinks that I'm like the big instigator, but I'm not. I'm just trying to help our neighborhood. I'm going to stand by the neighbors because we're all a neighbor.
It's in the hands of the city council.
Huh? Yeah, and that's how I said it. I said, I'm just going to let them take care of it. I'll come to these meetings, and I hope that you guys, and today I feel happy. I like that you guys are also. No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are you going to stay for the trick-or-treat thing? Or?
No. You're all welcome to stay, or you can all go.
Thank you very much. All of you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Save me some buckle.
All right. Let's move on back to our printed agenda. We're up to agenda item 7. This is proposed ordinance 56-2015, amending the codified ordinances chapter 1187 of the architectural districts, repealing chapter 1152 design review regulations. And this is for referral to the plan commission. I would assume that the planning commission is going to need a couple of meetings to digest these and to make a recommendation. I think we need first, a motion to refer this to the Municipal Planning Commission.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would move that we refer ordinance number 56-2015, amending the codified ordinances of Sylvania by amending chapter 1187, architectural districts, repealing chapter 1152, design review regulations, and the accompanying design guidelines for architectural districts. I move that we refer that to the Planning Commission for their review and recommendation.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to refer proposed ordinance 56-2015 to the Municipal Planning Commission for their review and recommendation. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. I'm sure that this will be placed on the Planning Commission's agenda for their meeting on next Wednesday, the 16th at 5:30 p.m. Mr. Hanum, we added agenda item 7A for you to schedule a zoning and annexation committee meeting about this legislation as well.
Yes, and I forget, is Mark on our committee?
Yes, and I don't know when he's at.
let's, the safe time to schedule it, not knowing, would be before our next council meeting, which is the 21st. And I'd like to have Randy, I'd like to have Randy Milnick attend that meeting as well, if possible.
The law director just asked me if there's enough time for the planning commission. No, I'm sure the planning commission will hold this till their October meeting.
Yeah, I think we have time.
Yeah.
There's another meeting at 6:30 that evening.
What meeting do we have at 6:30?
Mr. Aller.
Public involvement meeting on a project with citizens along the project.
Which project is that?
Oakbrook.
Okay, and that's in these council chambers?
Yes.
Okay.
At 6:30?
Yes, at 6:30.
You could schedule the meeting in another committee meeting room if you wanted to.
We could.
Or you can pick another evening, or you could, you actually can wait until Monday, October the 5th, too.
I guess the thing I'm thinking is, I'd like to have that committee meeting before the final planning commission meeting, so that if we have a problem, we could send that notice.
The final planning commission meeting?
Will be when?
April, or on Wednesday, October the 14th.
Okay. Well, then, why don't we do this? Why don't we hold off scheduling the meeting? I will get with Mark and the other members of the committee, and we'll schedule it once we know when Mark's available. Because I'm gone next week anyway, too, so I'm not available next week.
All right.
But I'll be here on the 21st. Okay, so we'll defer that. Thank you.
And as we said, this is too big of an issue for the planning commission to respond, just getting it tonight.
Yeah, and just so the record's clear, I mean, this particular, the administration has worked a lot with Pogemeyer to come up with these draft guidelines. I mean, these aren't, I mean, they're obviously not, they weren't just thrown together. We carefully considered, I know Mr. Aller has had input on it. I know that our law directors had input on it, and others, so. I've looked through it twice, too, so.
Mr. Aller, for the planning commission meeting maybe next Wednesday, we either need you or Joe or maybe the consultant present to give the planning commission a primer on what's going on. I'm sure that any of the three of you can do that, but they'll be coming into it cold. All right. So 7A, we will schedule that meeting at a later time, probably at our next, we'll schedule it during our next meeting at a later date. Let's move on to agenda item 8. This is to do with the groundwater storage tank improvements. This is the groundwater storage tank at Brent and Main Street, big tank that sits there on the ground. That's our pumping station where we draw water from the Toledo system north on Holland-Sylvania Road, pressurize it in our system enough that it has enough pressure to go up into our two water towers. It's been a while since that tank's been painted, so Mr. Aller included this on our capital improvements budget. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, it's been a little over 15 years. It'll be, next year when it's actually painted, it'll be 17 years. Since that tank has been painted, 15 years is the common life. It's pretty typical that you have to repaint those every 15 years. So it's time, so to speak. We also have some items on the tank that have to be updated. But right now, when you take that tank out of service, it has just one manway at ground level for someone to get out of. Today's standards, you have to have a manway on each side of that tank so that they can get get out of it.
That's the bolted hatch, I see?
Bolted hatch, yes.
Okay. I've been through that hatch.
We
I was fortunate they didn't re-bolt it while I was in there.
No, we left it open, yeah. I take the wrenches out of the guy's hand. Today's standards, we have to have one on the other side of the tank as well. So there are some, is some updating that we need to do, as well as the painting. The estimate for the cost of those modifications and the coating is $127,000. I do want to point out, I've got a couple different numbers here, and this is Michael's misunderstanding when I was talking with the consultant on the phone. The letter says $18,000. The ordinance says $18,563. The ordinance is correct. The discussions with the consultant, that was an approximate number that he gave me. And when we got the actual contract and we had all of the labor rates figured in, it came out to a little less round number. So the ordinance is correct at $18,563. Dixon Engineering is they're basically a water tank engineering firm. They do them all over the country. They do painting contracts. They do construction contracts. They do, it's what they do. They're very good. I've used them in past lives as well as here with the city, and I would recommend approval of the agreement.
The actual work would take place next spring?
Correct. The actual work would take place next spring to summer. That's really, we'd like to have it done in the spring. The weather plays a huge factor with this because it has to be, your temperatures have to cooperate because any moisture or anything like that has a big impact on the adhesion of that material and the life of it. So our hope would be to do it next spring prior to the busy summer period. If we don't hit it next spring, if weather doesn't cooperate, then we would be looking at probably the fall of next year because during the busy summer season, we really don't want to be without that tank. If we were to have a dry summer, we would need that tank to operate.
The tank needs to be empty to install that new hatch. If the inside of the tank was painted 15 or 17 years ago, that's why I was inside to look at that. Oh, you're not painting the inside now, you're only painting the outside. But the tank needs to be empty while you're painting the outside as well?
Yes.
Okay, yep. So it isn't too cold, you know, condensation on it?
Condensation.
Okay, yep. Got it.
We will be, the inside of the tank is scheduled for, I believe, 2 years from now. We'll have to go through it all again. It's manageable when the demands are low. We're breaking the cost up into two separate years.
Would there be substantive savings, Kevin, if we did both at the same time?
Not substantial. You'll actually be surprised how fast the painting goes. They rock and roll. They come in and they set the price, and the faster they're done, the faster they're out of town and on to the next one. So they do a good job. Dixon will, they'll test the thicknesses of the paint coatings and everything like that to make sure that we're getting the service. But this then, with the additional work that we haven't done, that'll have that tank out of service for a longer period of time. So.
This is the one over on Brent, right? The small dome-shaped one?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one where the Sweeto comes in for their feed. So you just divert around the storage tank there to feed the rest of the system.
Yeah,
right?
Our pumps will, rather than water go into that tank and then our pumps pump it to the system, we'll close that tank and our pumps will pump in directly into the system. It'll just be like a flow through.
Right.
And then our station will kind of be acting like a booster station, if you will, at that point. So, so we just bypass that tank.
Thanks.
Administration recommends approval of Ordinance 57-2015. Mr. Mishka.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 57-2015. All members of Council having previously received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Accepting the proposal of Dixon Engineering, Inc., Incorporated, to provide engineering design and inspection services for the 2015 ground storage tank improvement project. appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $15,563, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 57-2015 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
I think one point of order, I think Mr. Mishka misspoke.
He had the wrong dollar amount, yep.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
We'll go by what reads on here.
That's fine.
I did hear that, I thought I heard, yeah.
Which part did I just?
It's 18,563, not 15,563.
Oh, I apologize, okay.
Nope. Again, it's been moved and seconded that the first and second readings be waived and read by title only. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance 57-2015.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 57-2015 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And ordinance 57-2015 is approved. Moving on to, moving on to agenda item 9, a report of the safety committee meeting held in these council chambers last evening. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we held a safety committee meeting last night to discuss the no parking zones on Wildwood Drive and Summit Street. And we held that meeting at 5:30. Present were myself and other committee members, Mark Fry and Doug Hanum, as well as other council members, Katie Cappellini, Jason Mishka, Sandy Hessman, Service Director Kevin Aller, Chief Rodas, and Law Director Leslie Brining also joined us. And we had many community members here present for the discussion. We started out with a discussion presented by Mr. Aller of some recommendations for changes to the no parking zone. And I actually didn't pull those up. I was going to just attach that document to the minutes here when we submit the minutes. But we had Mr. Aller outlined the recommended changes and had a diagram available. And the people who were present here from Wildwood, I think first of all, council members felt comfortable with the changes and the recommendations. And the people that were present from Wildwood, there were two people who spoke to this, and they were happy with the new recommendations. The only additional comments that they had were they asked for consideration that some reflective tape be put on the stop sign bar or around the stop sign so that they would be more visible. Other than that, I think everybody was very happy with the recommendations that were submitted. So we then moved on to Summit Street, and again, we had Mr. Aller outline some recommendations for change, and those will be submitted along with the minutes as well here. We had about 8 or 9 people speak to it after council members reviewed it and asked questions. 8 or 9 community citizens stepped up and had additional comments and asked for administration to council and administration to consider some additional options. So those options included looking at the dotted line or the line pattern on the street, possibly removing the dotted line or moving the line over or making a dotted line on one side and a solid line on one side. So there were 3 options that they asked administration to consider there. They were also concerned with the hours that had been presented for the no parking zones from Monday through Friday. Currently, the recommendation that came out was from 7 to 10 a.m. and then from 3 to 6 p.m. And they asked for consideration to change that timeline to 2 hours. There was also a request for an additional stop sign at Orchard. The recommendation did include a stop sign being added at Erie Street. They requested widening the street just north, at the north end so of the street so that it was 27.5 feet consistent all the way from Monroe Street up to the end of the city. Right now there's a point where it narrows to 24 feet. And they requested a follow-up meeting in several months and again in a year just to take their temperature and see if they feel like the changes are helping. and resolving any of the other concerns. And then finally, they asked if we would make an adjustment to allow for parking on holidays during those times that will be designated as no parking times. They did clarify and was confirmed by the law director that there will be parking available on the weekends. So I think those were the critical issues that surfaced. Administration did say that they would consider all of these requests, and in a conversation with the service director, he thought that it would be appropriate to request a letter, that after everything's been reviewed and determined, that a letter to the residents about the final decisions and the timing of the implementation of the changes would be sent out with a copy to council members. And unless any committee member or Mr. Aller have anything to add that I may have left out, that would be the report.
Thank you. Any other committee reports to be made at this time? Hearing none, let's move on to agenda item 10, which is to set the date and time for trick-or-treat in the city. It's the administration's recommendation to stay with the traditional date of October 31st. That is a Saturday night. That seems to me to be the perfect night for this. It is not a school night, and it is not a Friday night. So there won't be any football game interference. It also happens to be the last night of daylight savings time. If you go to the Sunday or any date after this, it's going to be in dark an hour earlier for trick-or-treat. It's always a problem when we change trick-or-treat off of October 31st. This does take a motion of council to set this within the city limits.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we keep it on October 31st.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to set.
What time?
I have a question about time.
Six to eight. Is that?
No, it's normally.
6 to 7:30. What is it?
I think it's 6 to 7:30 also.
Okay.
Some neighborhoods and some communities will have 6 to 8.
6 to 7:30.
But 6 to 7:30 is what our traditional times are. Chief, do you agree with that?
Yes.
All right. It will be dark for the last 45 minutes or so of that, as I recall. But the younger kids can get out while it's still light out. So it's a good timing. So it's been moved and seconded to set trick-or-treat in the city of Sylvania for October 31st from 6 to 7:30 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 11 is committee referrals. Seeing no additional items, that brings us to the end of our agenda. I do want to go to a couple of the information items to clarify them. Information item A is a letter from the Lucas County Commissioners. This is the annexation petition for the Baptist Church on Holland Sylvania Road. This is the church that the city has purchased and is seeking to redevelop. The Baptists are moved out of that, or will be moving out of that facility at their own request. They were seeking to sell it for over a year. Information item B is the cash report from the Division of Taxation. You can see from the report from the tax commissioner that tax receipts are 2.88% above this time in 2014. That is very good news. We continue to inch upward on our tax receipts. And the budgeted amount for last year, for this year in the budget, is 2.8%. So we are very marginally over the budget. Very close. I don't know how finance directors come up with those. We'll see how it stands up at the end of the year. They're not feeling as good in the city of Toledo right now. And then, of course, agenda item C is all the bank reconciliation statements. If there's no further issues, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting on Monday, September the 21st at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.